podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Well, the reason you can say amen to that this morning is because that's your story. That's my story, right? Unworthy, ashamed sinner, redeemed by Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And so I am thankful for him and for all that he has done, and he is the reason for everything we do, for all of the time and effort we put into serving him and doing his will and doing his work. It's all about him. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read our passage of Scripture this morning found in your pew Bible on page 832. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we might agree with Paul in unity together, Lord, that we are called to press on. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 10 years has flown by. And I know some of you are here and you've said, you know what, I've been at Quaker Gap for 50, 60, 70, going on 80 years. I have been here a long time, right? And where's my barbecue? That's what you're thinking, right? I think you deserve one too. I really do. So feel free to make this yours. It's about you today. As I said last week, y'all have put up with us for 10 years, and that's a good thing too. So it's for all of us. 10 years ago, my children were 15, 11, 7, and 0. And and Jerry and I were young, like we still are. Nothing's changed there. But we've seen our children grow up here over these 10 years, and what a blessing that has been. And thank you for the input that you have had in their lives. They are the people they are today because of the influence that many of you have had in their lives, and we are thankful for that. And there are many things looking back that I can think of that drew my family here 10 years ago. One was a box of Krispy Kremes that came in the mail with information about Stokes County and the surrounding area. And we opened up that box of Krispy Kremes and were very surprised. And I told the search committee at that time, if you think you can trap us with a box of Krispy Kremes, you are absolutely right. So I remember those days. And then I also remember the beautiful southern voices that came over the phone calls. We had conference calls with the search committee. And I wasn't used to hearing those types of voices where we were living in New Jersey. And but maybe it was the perfect spring days. Whenever we came to visit, the first time I came, and then when we came as a family for the first time, the weather was just perfect, and the blossoms were coming forth, and the sun was shining, and the weather was wonderful. There was no humidity. It was like God just planned this perfect weather, and maybe that was it. Maybe it was David Weevil's sledgehammer. Many of you don't know, but David Weevil went to town with that sledgehammer on the parsonage, and then they had to come behind him and fix up everything that he had done, and we praise God for that. The opportunity we had to stay with Clint and Darshan and to experience their hospitality, I'm sure that had something to play into everything that we experienced 10 years ago. Again, then there was a time when I was meeting with the search committee, and Dan Nance looked me in the eye with a very stern look on his face and said, "Now, what team is your favorite baseball team?" And I, reluctantly, because I didn't think this was going to be the right answer, I said, "The New York Yankees." And he looked at me and got a broad smile on his face, and he said, "I knew I liked you." So maybe it's the people that I had not even met yet who were saying hello to me in King because they had recognized our picture that the church had circulated. Maybe it was Keith and Stephen at that time who took me to the Dario when the Dario was still just outdoor seating only. And maybe it was that time at Dario with them. And all three of our daughters would eventually work at the Dario, by the way. And then maybe it was Gerald Jones who gave me a tour of the schools. And as we walked by, he had to hug and talk to every single person that we saw in those schools. I can say this, that no matter what, we have a lot of things I could talk about, but it was all a good thing. And as I look back, it was all a God thing. It really was. It was God taking a church that had a need and a pastor that had a need and bringing us together to as only He can do. And God has met our needs as a family and my needs as a minister here at this church. And I can only hope that you are as happy with His choice as we have been over the last 10 years. So we praise God for you. And I'm thankful to the Lord for what He has done. Now, after 10 years, it would be easy for us to get comfortable. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by comfortable? To just rest in what we have here, right? What we've been able to accomplish, the people who are already here. We all get along with one another. We have unity. This is wonderful. You know, don't upset the apple cart. Don't make any changes. Don't come up with any new plans or strategies or visions or anything like that. Just leave things the way that they are, right? Because this is good. Let's just get comfortable and wait for Jesus to come back. We just read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, that Paul said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Where Paul says, I'm forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. That Paul said, you know, my time here is not yet through. Like a long-distance runner, you know, there's no time to put it into cruise control. We need to keep pressing on. And as long as we have breath, we need to keep seeking for what God has for us to do and to be. And this is no time to get comfortable. That's the way I feel about it. Now, Paul is a big fan of contentment. Understand that. A big fan of contentment, but not necessarily comfort. If you have your Bible still open to Philippians chapter 3, look over to Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 12. So flip over one chapter in Philippians to chapter 4, starting with verse 12. Paul writes, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. So Paul talks about contentment. And there's a difference between contentment and comfort. They're not the same thing. You might ask the question, well, what is that difference between contentment and comfort? I think Paul was content, obviously, no matter what the situation was, no matter where God led him, no matter what the work was, whether it was difficult or easy, whether he was high on the hog or whether he was low in the ditch, he was able to be content no matter what situation he was in. But Paul was not always comfortable, I don't think. It's possible for you to be very comfortable, but not to be content. That's possible. It's also possible for you to be content and not comfortable at all. That's how I believe Paul was. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, I don't believe that it's possible for us to be content and comfortable. I think God is always trying to push us out of that comfortable state, out of that comfort zone. And really, contentment for a Christian is to be on the cutting edge of things, to continually be following after God where He would lead us, and not to become comfortable. Because comfort implies a state of life where all of my physical needs are met, and circumstances are great, and I just can relax and exhale and say, isn't the world great? The great place to be. But contentment is a state of heart fueled by our faith. And regardless of the circumstances, our faith in God endures. Regardless of what's happening, regardless of how we feel as far as the things of the world are concerned, contentment is a state of heart fueled by our faith in a God who never changes. So, Comfort comes when we rest in the luxurious lives that we've been given, you know, the lavish lifestyles, when we're happy right where we are and we don't want anything to change because we're comfortable with life. Have you ever caught yourself thinking at any stage in your life, wow, if I could just freeze things right here, if I could just stop time and just live in this moment for the rest of my days, I would be happy. You know, life would be perfect. Just keep my kids the age that they are right now. Stay on vacation wherever I am for the unforeseeable future. I could handle this. I could handle this. If only we could freeze life right now. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, because life does not stand still. Life does not offer us that possibility. The things that make us comfortable in life, by the way, require continuous upkeep and maintenance and hard work. In fact, being comfortable in this world is a full-time job. And comfort is relative, because the more we have, it seems the more we want. We're never 100% comfortable. There's always something else that would make us a little more comfortable, because the comforts of today will soon be replaced by the comforts of tomorrow. That's the way of the world. And so perhaps it's not all about comfort. Now, Scripture warns us that God's people should not grow comfortable. Right? The Bible teaches us that God's people are not to grow comfortable in this world. Because if we are comfortable, we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. We've made a mistake. We've made a wrong turn somewhere. So let me just refresh your memory of a couple of examples from Scripture. One dating back to the book of Exodus. Now, if we were to go back to the book of Exodus, you would see that the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. And God called Moses as his messenger to go and to rescue his people from slavery. So Moses came to the king of Egypt at that time, Pharaoh, and started talking to him and saying, "Let my people go." God says, "Let my people go." Pharaoh was not real happy with that arrangement at first, as you may remember. He didn't want to lose all of his slaves. So he laughed at Moses and sent him away. Well, he not only laughed at Moses and sent him away, he made life miserable for these Hebrew slaves. He told them, "Not only are you going to have to make bricks as you have been making, I'm going to take away all of the straw," which was the filler, "out of the way. I'm going to take that all away, and you're going to have to make the bricks without that. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to expect the same quota, the same number of bricks made, regardless of the fact that I have taken away all of the filler and the straw." And the people of Israel were upset with Moses for going to Pharaoh and for stirring things up. Why? Here was their opportunity to be free. God and Moses were working toward their freedom. So why did they get upset with God and upset with Moses in this scenario? Because they had become comfortable as slaves. The people of Israel had become comfortable as slaves in Egypt. They didn't want any changes. They would rather remain where they were than risk discomfort to possibly achieve freedom. A terrible time in the history of Israel. We also read about Paul, who says, "I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content." But was he comfortable? Was Paul comfortable? Well, if we were to look at 1 Corinthians, and you can just listen to what I have to say here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23, he actually says these words: "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily pressure of my concern for all the churches." And he boasts about all of the terrible things that he has experienced in his life serving God. So he was content, but I wouldn't say he was comfortable in the things that he experienced. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, just this one more example. The Lord Jesus Christ sends a message to the angel at the church in Sardis. And in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 3, we read part of that message. He says, "Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God." Well, there's a message there for the church. Not just our church, but for the church, which is, I'm not done yet. It's unfinished. There's more that needs to be done. So don't get too comfortable. Content? Yes. By all means, we are content in who God is. And if He returns today, we will be content with that for sure. But comfortable? I don't think that's what the Christian life is about. Because contentment is a state of mind that God is in control. Comfort is a state of mind that I have everything I need, and now I can rest. So those who are content trust in God. Those who are comfortable trust in the world and trust in themselves. So this is no time to be comfortable. There is nothing comfortable about Jesus leaving the side of God to enter into this world in order to give us hope. There is nothing comfortable about Jesus giving His life as a sacrifice for you and being tortured and beaten and dying on a cross for you. There is nothing comfortable about the persecution that people throughout the centuries have experienced after putting their faith in Jesus Christ. They're beaten and imprisoned and martyred and today even beheaded. And there's nothing comfortable about living the Christian life. I believe if we're comfortable, we're doing it wrong. If you come to church looking for something comfortable, you're in the wrong place. Because we're not promised that. Contentment, rest in and peace in the Lord, by all means. But comfort, not the way the world knows it. Now, Scripture tells us that we can have contentment and peace in the midst of a storm because we know God. Scripture tells us that we can have contentment and joy even in the face of great, uncomfortable evil. So we know that we have a God who provides that for us. But that's not what the Christian life is all about, looking for comfort. I had read recently about a missionary compound. Back in the old days of the beginning of the missionary movement, when people were inspired to take an adventure and go to Africa and to lead people to Jesus, they would get teams of missionaries together to move from the United States to wherever it was, the Congo, wherever, somewhere in Africa, and they would move there, and the first thing they would do would be to build a compound. They would build homes for themselves that were much bigger than the homes of the people who lived there. They would surround those homes with all of the comforts that they have in the United States. They would establish their schools, English-speaking schools for their children. They would establish everything they needed. They would bring their belongings with them, their televisions. They would find a way to get American English-speaking television wherever they went. They would build walls around the compound with barbed wire on the top to keep people out. They would hire armed guards to watch their missionary compound so that they could remain comfortable within those walls in a place where God had led them to lead people to the Lord. But what do you think the opinion of the people who lived in that place was when they saw these American missionaries come and set up their compounds? Well, I don't think that they were representing Jesus in their minds, that these people were coming to bring the American way of life. So yeah, some were excited about it. Yeah, let's get in on this. This looks great. You know, maybe we can have a life like that. And so some of these missionaries thought they were leading people to Jesus. They were really leading people to a Western way of life. We need to be careful because there is a correlation between our Christian life and what those missionaries were doing. And that is this. Whenever we as Christians become comfortable with the way things are, and we come into our compound, and we set up a barbed wire fence, and we praise God and worship Him together, but we want to keep those who are on the outside, and we don't want them to come in and make things messy because we're comfortable. When we do that, we are the least like Jesus Christ than we could ever possibly be. Because Jesus left the side of God in heaven and came into this messy world, and He tabernacled with us, Scripture says. He became one of us. He lived in the midst of our filth and walked in our streets. And that's what we're called to do as God's people. Not to be comfortable and to set up our own kingdom, but to go out into the streets of this world to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's messy, and sometimes it's uncomfortable. But that's what we need to do in order to reflect the person of Jesus Christ. So along with Paul, I want to say we should press on. We should press on and be the people God's called us to be and do the things He's called us to do, to look at the needs of the world, to look at the fields around us that are white unto harvest, and to step out and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to do His work, whether it's comfortable or not. So yeah, I want to enjoy this day, and I want to celebrate together and thank God for the 10 years that He has given to us. And those of you who have been here much longer than that, I praise God for you and your faithfulness as well. But let's get excited about God, what God would have for us as we look forward to the future, to the days ahead, wherever He might lead us. Let's be filled with the Spirit and look forward to that. Not be comfortable, but be content in the Lord and to press on to continue to do His will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your word this morning and for the example of the Apostle Paul, who went through so many trials, yet continued to trust in You and to rest in You and to be content in who You are. But Father, in the midst of all of that, Lord, he continued to press on, to not rest on his laurels, on his accomplishments, to not go on a book tour and tell the world how to do the work of Christ. But instead, Lord, he continued to serve until the day when his life was taken and he went to be with You. Oh, Heavenly Father, how I pray that You would give us that same spirit, that we, O Lord, would desire to press on, to do the work that You've called us to do, to be the people that You've called us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.